Whoa. Why y'all so happy?
You don't know. Charvette Mitchell is on the radio.
It's time to get motivated,
excited,
and influenced.
Why?
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, live from Richmond, Virginia.
And now,
here to motivate, excite, and influence you,
Charvette Mitchell.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, but heard all across the World Wide Web. Oh, my goodness. Hey, guys, we're so glad to have you tuning in for another phenomenal, outstanding show here on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Our goal is to motivate, excite, and influence, and I'm going to tell you, our guests are going to do that on tonight. So listen, we're so excited for all those that are tuning in, those that are already hanging out on the phone lines. Hey there, those that are coming in from Twitter and from Facebook and from Charvette.com and from all of our broadcast stations, we appreciate you and we thank you so much for checking us out every single week. Hey, if you're following me on Twitter, I love you. Thank you so much. If you're not following me, jump on over there and follow Charvette on Twitter. You can also follow me on Facebook. Facebook.com/Charvette. So let's chat about today's show. Oh my goodness. So my first guest is hanging out in the virtual green room. I'm going to be bringing her up to the mic shortly. It's awesome when I have an opportunity to actually interview someone that's from Richmond, because I interview people from all over, and both of my guests tonight are from Richmond, Virginia, hail here in the city, represent the city well. And so our first spotlight featured interview is with Dr. Nikita Garris Watson. Oh, my goodness. We just call her Dr. Key just for short. Listen, she's known as the stiletto preacher, but a humble, willing servant, certainly of the Lord. She, if you followed her or seen her on Facebook, you know she has much to say. She has much impact in ministry. She has a lot to say and offer to women of God, for marriages. So we're gonna talk about all of that. She's licensed, certainly an ordained minister. She's a senior pastor. Oh, big shout out to Words of Deliverance Worldwide Ministries. She's the executive director of Her Story Ministries. And let me tell you what, she is a survivor. And we're going to let you hear all of that directly from her. So we're excited to have Dr. Nikita on. And then following her segment, we're excited to speak with our next guest. Oh, my goodness, if you're saying I need to get my finances in order, I want to have financial freedom, we are coming up on the end of the very first half of the year, and you might have made some resolutions, and you might have made some decrees at New Year's, and now you're halfway through the year saying, I thought I was going to do better with my budget and all that good stuff. Well, listen, we have a dynamic young lady that's joining us. Majida Bay is joining us, and she's going to give some tips for financial freedom, how you can accomplish that, some guidance for you, and it doesn't take a lot. So you're going to get to hear a lot of stuff today. So listen, let's go ahead and jump right on in to our first segment. Again, we're really excited for all those that are joining us in the virtual studio, and we're rolling right on in. This sister girlfriend spotlight, I like to call it. I love when I can spotlight women of God who are doing great things to impact the ministry. And we are bringing up to the mic right now Dr. Nikita Garris Watson. Welcome.
Thank you, Charvette. I am so honored to share sacred airspace with you and all of the beloved listeners on this evening.
Oh, my goodness. It is a privilege to have you. It is such a privilege to have you. So I would love for you to just share how ministry started for you.
Oh, wow.
big question.
My first honest answer would be reluctantly. Ministry was not my choice, but it's my calling. Had one of our prophets preach that recently, and it resonated with my spirit. It's not my choice, but it's my calling. And it came really in the midst of some painful trials and tribulations. At the place where I thought I was going to die, God gave destiny. And I thought that was very key to what God wanted from me. I didn't come from a lineage of preachers, didn't even come from a family of those that were saved early under my foster grandmother. I thank God for her life, who really prayed me in. So when that happened, I've developed this relationship with God. My earliest memory of God is actually being in the prayer line with her at 3 years old.
And God reminded me that he's always had his hands on me, even with all that had happened, all that I had been through, that he had never lifted his hands off of my life. When I wanted to die, he wouldn't let me die, but he demanded destiny be birthed out of my life. And I am so grateful to be able to represent our Savior and our Father on the platforms that he's allowed, whether small or big, it doesn't matter, just to be able to represent him with the best that I have to give. So that's where ministry came from me. Ministry came out of pain and misery.
My goodness, and there was a demand on your life. You didn't have this. It wasn't optional.
I don't think that I could do anything else and be satisfied. I don't think that I could confidently walk in another direction. And I've tried to walk away. I don't know about anybody else in ministry, but ministry is not about being served, but being a servant. And sometimes being a servant comes with great sacrifice. And trying to walk away, being frustrated, crying, wanting to give up. But the demand to be what God said, the demand to be what God created me to be, always takes over. The inner man gets stronger than the outer. The flesh loses every time, and I'm so glad that the flesh still loses because it's a hard day sometimes. So the demand for destiny.
That's good. Listen, y'all, if you're on Twitter, you need to tweet that and give Dr. Nikita the credit. The flesh still loses. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so talk a little bit. In your bio, you talk about how you survived, several things. Talk a little bit about that time period in your life.
Sure, I'd be glad to share. I actually was first molested when I was 6 years old. And if you can imagine that age frame, nothing about that should be a part of your life. And that struggle or that fight went on from the time I was six to the time I was 11 and a half, and then again from 13 to 14. There were those that were trusted members of the family who violated that trust. And so it came that molestation, rape, abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse became a part of my story. It became the fabric of who I am today. Those painful things, it took years to heal from, and so I began to make decisions from a painful place. I began to do crazy things because of the pain that I was in, went into different directions. It opened up promiscuity. It opened up bad choices. It opened up self-hate. I thought I was going to just outright lose my mind, tried to kill myself three times, and was angry because God allowed me to live. I couldn't understand how a God who professed to love me would allow me to live in pain or allow me to live past, because I wanted to die. I wanted to be done with it. And every time, the things that had killed others, God kept me. And I could not understand why he would not let me die. Went from making those bad choices and went from that into a marriage that I should have never walked into. I was broken. My ex-husband was broken. I wanted him to make me feel beautiful. I wanted him to make me feel whole. And in essence, what I tried to do was make him be God for me. And ultimately, that relationship became toxic for us both. And you included adultery in that and other issues that came out of that. But even out of the mess, God gave me two miracles, because I have a son and a daughter that no matter what happened, I know that they were the miracle, the hand of God. But God had to heal me, and he had to heal me completely. And so he made me go into a place, an isolation place. He made me go into a place where I had to face Nikita. I had to look at myself in the mirror and deal with who I really was. I had to deal with the broken places. I had to deal with the broken pieces, and God helped me to live on broken pieces. Only God could do that, where you're still functioning in dysfunction and still progressing, because on the outside, Charvette, people would have thought that I was successful. God was allowing me to accomplish things academically. God was allowing me. It looked like we had the perfect marriage. We were both doing this, and we both were doing that, you know. We had the sister, brother, sorority, fraternity. So on the outside, these things looked like I was successful. But on the inside, it was stagnant and toxic. And God had to really purge and deal with that. But what I found interesting was it was at that place, at the place of my deepest hurt, that God gave me my greatest insight into who he was calling me to be. And that's where Words of Deliverance was birthed. That's where the ministry on the inside really came on the outside. And that's where I minister from. I tell people I can't give you my degrees. I have to give you my understanding of who God is. And that's what I think is the most transparent part of my life is the ministry of transparency, because I'm not going to leave anybody behind if I can help it.
My God. First of all, let me just say thank you for being transparent parent and willing to share. Sometimes we want to just talk about the doctorate, and we want to just talk about, you know, where we are now and not where we have come from. So, number one, I applaud you for being transparent and open to share where really your ministry birthed from. What do you say to a woman that is experiencing perhaps what you have gone through in, you know, years ago, and they're experiencing it now? What are maybe baby steps, a couple baby steps they could take to come up out of this?
The first thing is admitting that the issue happened, admitting that you are weak, and that's where, of course, we borrow from the scriptures, that his strength is made perfect in my weakness. I had to admit to God that I needed him. When you grow up fast, when you come out of poverty, when you come out of certain situations, you have a facade of strength. I had to admit that I wasn't as strong as I thought I was. I had to admit that I needed God in places that were more intimate than anything that could be discussed in public. And so I had to allow God to give me, I had to do two things. I had to have private deliverance, and then sometimes I had to have private deliverance in a public place. And so there were days, Charbet, that I laid on the altar and I just cried out to God. I didn't have room for embarrassment because I needed to be delivered. And that's that first place, is knowing, acknowledging that you need to be delivered from something. Acknowledging in some things it was not my fault, and in some other things it was my fault. I had to accept my responsibility for both sides of it. God, where it wasn't my fault, clear me. But where it is my fault, help me not to make the same mistakes. I couldn't play the blame game. I couldn't blame my mother, because at that time my mother did the best she could with her own brokenness. I couldn't blame my absent father, because I don't know why he was absent. But I thank God that he let me know one day that the reason he didn't allow me to deal with even my absent father is because he probably would have messed me up worse than I was already. And so God himself fathered me. I couldn't blame even those who had molested me. I had to deal with just the fact that I was broken and hurt. Blaming never healed me. It wasn't until I just simply said, God, I need you, that I was able to start the healing process. And when I knew I was healed was when I could deal with the situation and it didn't hurt anymore.
Yeah. Wow. And so is this where Her Story Ministries was birthed?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Words of Deliverance, of course, initially started out as an outreach. And initially that was like my personal ministry. But when God decided that there was a greater call that I didn't want, Words of Deliverance belongs to the people, belongs to the nations and the neighborhood, but there still had to be something that belonged to me, that personified who I was. I could not, for my own reasons, name my ministry after me, because I didn't feel like Nikita Garris Watson Ministries would speak or fully articulate who I was or what I was called to do. And so I asked God, what is it? And Her Story came out of that, because that's what it is. That's my story. Telling my story from the perspective of God's glory, it's not to victimize anybody, it's not to villainize, but literally to tell my story so that God gets the glory out of it. And that's where Her Story came from. When, as a history major, we often tell the story from a man's perspective, and I thank God for the men that have gone before us. I thank God for the stories that men have shared, but women have a story, and I have a story. So that's where Her Story was birthed, because her story is what speaks. Her story is who I am. If people don't say anything else about me, they're going to tell my story. And that's how Her Story Ministries was birthed, because that's who I am. I am my story.
Wonderful. If there are listeners from anywhere all over that say, I want to connect with Her Story, I want to find out more, how can they connect with you around that?
There's a couple of ways. The good thing is technology. We are such in a dispensation of technology.
Yes.
Facebook. So I can talk to people anywhere and everywhere, which is what I really love, because I don't get to always, I love putting my hands on people and really getting to know them. So the intimacy, technology can be intimate if we allow it to be. And so they can reach me on Facebook. They can find me on Twitter. They can find me on Instagram. If they just type in Dr. Key, they'll find me. We have the ministry page, which is Words of Deliverance. When you get to Words of Deliverance, Reverence, which is, of course, the ministry. It'll take you to Her Story. We are now preparing for a conference, so Her Story will take you to the Soldiers and Stilettos. And so any way they want to find me, they can find me. And of course, you know, we're in public information. If you Google me, it'll come up. Everything but videos. I kind of hide from cameras.
Oh, you do? Okay. Well, you're so pretty, you don't need to hide not one bit. But listeners, if you're on Charvette.com, I have a blog entry post there of Dr. Nikita. So the name there, we've tagged on Facebook, talked about her on Twitter. So those are easy connection points. Hey there to all those that are just tuning in. We see you coming in on the phone lines. You're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia. And we're excited to have you here as we do a special feature on Dr. Nikita Garris Watson. All right, so how did you get pinned? How did you get coined the Stiletto Preacher?
That is an interesting dynamic. Growing up, we were. I tell people we were PO. We couldn't afford the OR. I never really had the shoes I wanted. Never. So I always told God that when I got out of school, when I got a couple of dollars, a couple of quarters, I would buy shoes. At one point, I was buying too many, and God actually had to come back and help me be delivered from my childhood. When I was in fifth grade, one of my teachers said that I was a cute child, but I had on ugly shoes, and that thing scarred me for a long time. Eventually, God healed and delivered, and so it always reminded me to be careful of what I say to people, even in moments of anger or in laughter, because I don't want to leave them with scars. But eventually, after my deliverance, God allowed me to buy shoes. But as a preacher, you know, most people, you'll see them come out their shoes, they're coming to their flats. I have a no flat rule. If you can't wear them, you shouldn't put them on. So I have a thing about stiletto. I'm not as tall as people think, which is kind of funny. I'm fun size. So people, when they see me in flats, actually don't realize I'm actually not that tall. So with stilettos, that's become my thing. Shoes are my thing. I have a blingologist, Lisa Watson, out of Janasha and Company. And so my shoes, I can have the same shoe as somebody else, but it's always going to be different. And I tell people custom costs. And since I have a custom anointing, I shouldn't have to look like anybody else. And I don't want to wear anybody else's name. I want to have my own stuff. And so that's where the Stiletto Preacher came from, because wherever I go, I'm always going to have on my high heels. I keep them on the whole time. And they always, you know, it don't mean a thing if it don't have bling. So I always have to have some bling in my life.
I love it. Listen, a big shout out to those that are listening in from Facebook. Someone says, she's so walking this story today. I so love sisterhood. So thank you so much for those that are listening in and making comments and all that good stuff. So let's fast forward a little bit. You are happily married, and I'm telling you what, you and your husband, big shout out to him. Certainly, let me let you give him a big shout out. Go ahead and give your husband
a big
shout out.
Thank you. Please let me shout out I call my husband the answer to my prayers, wrapped in cocoa butter brown flesh. That is my heart, my joy. That is my best friend, the Bishop-elect James E. Watson, Jr. I call him Big J. Watt for me. But that is, I love my husband. I love him. He is truly the answer to my prayers, wrapped in flesh. Thank you for letting, I was hoping you were going to let me talk about him, because I just got, that's a big smile on my face.
Yes, absolutely. On the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, we support marriages. We support happy relationships. We want people to be in happy relationships and healthy relationships. So I love for you to share any relationship tips or relationship advice you may have. Let's start with the singles, and then what would you say for married couples?
I would. For singles, one of the key things, my husband and I both were married before. But we didn't do it God's way, and we paid the consequences for that. So when we connected and God allowed us to connect, the first thing that was important is that you have to be whole. We go in, I think, for singles is knowing that when you go into a relationship, that person doesn't complete you, they complement you. Only God can really complete you. Only God can give you what you need to feel wonderful, to feel beautiful. If you predicate that on the opinion of the other person, then you're going to always be damaged. But if you allow that person to be who they are, which is your compliment, then you won't have that struggle. the key, and it's for singles and for married people, is you don't ask that person to read your mind. You have to be honest about what you need, what you want, what you desire, what's working well, what's not working well. That's going to be important in any relationship, whether it's mm-hmm. romantic or non-romantic. People can't read minds. Friendships are built off of communication. That's critical. Knowing how to communicate, knowing how to be angry without trying to injure. When I'm angry, yeah. my husband and I are different people. We think different. I don't think people need to be looking for themselves. When I met my husband, I told him, I'm not trying to date myself, because if I date myself, I'm going to be limited in what I see and what I understand. But in essence, him being different is the celebration of what makes us work. By him being different, we have a 360-degree view on the world. He sees what I don't see. He says what I won't say, and we understand. I allow him to be who he is and vice versa. Being in a relationship with somebody, especially for a believer, you need to have another person that's a believer. And I say that because when my husband and I don't necessarily see something eye to eye, we go to God. Yeah. We don't come to destroy each other. We go to God and we ask for understanding. Whether single or whether married, when you're in a discussion, you should be listening not to defend but to mend, and you're trying to mend the situation. If you're sitting there looking for a way to defend yourself or sitting for a way to defend what you're thinking, you're going to miss the greater opportunity for God to minister. And so you have to treat that person that really is a cliche but it's true. Treat them the way you want to be treated. If you want to be treated with respect, give them respect. If you want to be treated with love, give them love. But for a single has to love themselves first, because if you're waiting for that person to make you feel loved, they're always going to come up short. Only God can give a perfect love. I never ask my husband not to hurt me, because he's incapable of doing so. Understanding that in human interactions, there's always the opportunity for hurt. I asked him not to intentionally hurt me or to do it on purpose, but there may be something he does that he didn't know was going to be hurtful, and it happens, and he committed to that. Know what you want. As a single and as a married person, what do you want out of the relationship? What are you looking for? Because if you don't know what you want, that person can never meet that need. When I asked my husband that the first time we talked, I asked him, what do you need from me? Because one, I needed to know, was it something I could give him? And he asked me, he said, all I need from you is stability, fair. He's asking me to be consistent and be stable, and that's what I offered him. For him, it was a different conversation. I told him, for 5 years, I won't let my husband buy me anything. And most people find that strange. I did not want his pocket. I wanted his prayers. I would not allow. We haven't even hit the five-year mark where he can buy me anything yet, because I didn't want him to try to love me through his pocket. I didn't want him to feel like he had to buy. I wanted my husband. I told him, I want the man. I want your heart, which means you have to go beyond what you can pay for. You have to go beyond. Give me who you really are, and that's what he's done for me. He's given me he intercedes for me like nobody else. He covers me. He protects me. And what I love about him and how I knew he was the one is after he heard my story, he asked me one question: is there anything I could do to you that will remind you of what happened to you? That's when I knew that God had sent the one. You need to have somebody who understands your deepest hurt and will try to protect you from being hurt anymore. He could never fix it because he wasn't there, but he can make sure he protected me going forward. That's when you know, and it goes for both sides, for a male or a female, that person should want to protect you from hurt. Home should be your safest place. Home should not be hell. There's enough hell out there.
That's another tweetable or Facebookable. And give Dr. DeKeith the credit. Yes, yes.
Home should be. Wow. I am my husband's safe place, and that's what and it doesn't mean that we agree about everything. When I say I'm in safe place, we have rules. We set some rules in the beginning. We have what we call rough, rugged, and raw conversations. That means I can say what I'm thinking, the way I'm thinking, how I'm thinking it, because I don't have time to fix it. But we have those strategically. But we also understand, I know that my husband needs time to process. We have to respect the opportunity to process. Women, as we're emotional, and we're always multitasking, so we have to understand. I highly advocate the book Five Love Languages by Dr. Gary Chapman. I'm not getting in any endorsements. Dr. Gary Chapman doesn't know me. But that book I use in all of our spiritual guidance sessions, because we don't do counseling. We guide people spiritually. And when you understand a person's love language, then you understand how to love them the way they need to be loved. We can't love somebody the way we want to be loved. We have to love them on their level. And that is so important. But communication is everything. That outlast, that's the intimacy beyond any intimacy, communication.
Yes. And Dr. Nikita, I literally just yesterday told somebody they needed to go take the 5 love language test and look into that. Literally just said that to someone
they
yesterday.
They have to. Charvette, it is such, that book.
It's so powerful.
And it was interesting. It's so powerful. I got it as I was getting divorced. And I saw so many things that I just didn't know. I didn't understand. It wasn't something that was trained or taught. There was so much I just didn't know from growing up, so many things my mother didn't know that she couldn't teach me. And so I had to learn so many things by mistake. I was so grateful. And when I was in that in-between stage between divorce and remarriage, that was a requirement. If you want to be in my life, you have to read this book, because I know my love language, and I know that if this is not met, it's always going to be a sense of needing more, always going to be a sense of feeling inadequate, like the love is inadequate. There is no gift my husband could ever pay by that we equate to having his heart and being able to just sit down and talk to him. We have a rule called UDA, that's undivided attention, where there's no TV, no phone, no persons, no, not even ministry. It's just him and I, and we just bear each other's hearts. Those are the greatest moments that I have with him, and I think that's what everybody deserves and everybody should have, is that intimacy that comes from being connected.
Yes. Listeners, listen, you just got a life class, an Oprah life class, in just like less than 10 minutes. Dr. Nikita, thank you so much for sharing with us so much wisdom and so much knowledge that you have. I think we need to have you come back, because you certainly have much to offer. One of our listeners and partners and friends on Facebook, when she saw your picture, she said, Dr. Watson looks like she has a lot to say to your listeners. So thank you. Big shout out to Valerie, who said that.
I don't know where she is. I am humbled.
Yeah. Well, so my last question for you, the goal of the show is to motivate, excite, and influence, and we want to know what continues to motivate you.
I am motivated. Gosh, there's so many things. There are two things. I'm motivated first by my children, because I want to give them what I never had, and not materialistically, but the relationship and the lineage of faith, the lineage of relationship. That's my first motivation. And then my second motivation is fruit. And when I say fruit, I want to know that the ministry that I'm doing is bearing fruit that other people can dine from, and their lives are being changed. When I know that I'm making a difference, I'm not trying to be mega. I'm not asking for platforms. I'm just trying to matter. And if my life can matter, that's my motivation. When I can have that one-on-one moment and somebody comes back and says, what you said changed my life, or what you said saved my life, nothing compares to somebody saying, I introduced them to God, or I introduced them and they had hope. That's what motivates me, is to matter in the kingdom. And if I can matter, then this is a life well spent.
Life well spent. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. I could not agree more. Listeners, I think you need to put your hands together for Dr. Nikita Watson Garris. Nikita Garris Watson. Again, we've tagged on Facebook and all of that good stuff, great connection points. And we thank you so much for stopping by the show.
Thank you so much again, Charvette. May God continue to bless you and everybody who has been on the show and shall be on the show. I'm just believing God for great things.
Amen. I receive it. Amen. All right, listeners, we are going to take a very quick commercial break. My second guest, she's hanging out in the virtual green room, ready to come up to chat with you from Richmond here, hailing in Richmond as well, Majida Bey, Virginia Tech graduate. Listen, civil and environmental engineering, but she is coming to talk to us about financial freedom, give you some tips so that you're not afraid of money. You might have made some resolutions early in the year by budgeting and all that good stuff. You're going to do better. Listen, we're at the halfway mark. We're at the halfway mark of the year, and we want to give you some tips that you can continue working on your financial freedom. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to be back. Don't you move. Don't you go anywhere. Okay? We'll be right back.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Charvette will be back after this.
Spiritual Food for Thought, 31 Inspirational Quotes to Jumpstart Your Day by LaTanya Boyd, consists of inspirational messages that offer daily words of empowerment, promote spiritual growth and development in the Lord Jesus Christ for your day-to-day living. Spiritual Food for Thought, 31 Inspirational Quotes to Jumpstart Your Day, available now on Kindle, ebook, and paperback. Log on to www.letiboyd.com.
Hello, we are 123jobzone.com, an online job search portal. We are user-friendly, and if you're searching for a job, with us, it's easy as 123. Step 1, go to www.123jobzone.com and register as a job seeker. Step 2, once registered, upload your resumes. Step 3, get connected with employers looking for people like you who are ready and willing to work. Don't forget to follow 123 Job Zone on Twitter and Facebook to find out more about our upcoming job fairs. What are you waiting for? Stop by 123jobzone.com today. Good luck with your job search.
Does your church or ministry have a website? Are you a local artist or author that has an established web presence? If you answered no to any of these questions, you're letting countless opportunities pass you by. Hi, I'm Charvette Mitchell. Mitchell Productions was created with your needs in mind. We will provide you with stylish and economical online marketing solutions. From email marketing to your own website, Mitchell Productions caters to ministries, nonprofits, small businesses, and special events. Check out our portfolio at Mitchell-Productions.com. In today's world, a website is not a luxury, it's a necessity. And Mitchell Productions can create your website in a stylish manner at a very economical price. Don't let business, customers, or new congregation members pass you by. Visit Mitchell Productions today at www.Mitchell-Productions.com. Let us showcase your organization to the world.
She's here to motivate, excite, and influence you. She's Charvette Mitchell.
Charvette Mitchell.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show with in-depth interviews from today's leading authors, gospel artists, stars that you want to know about. And now, Charvette Mitchell.
All right, welcome back again to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Really excited to have you guys tuning in and checking us out. Listen, we do not take it for granted. We love you guys, and thank you so much for all of those that are listening and tweeting and Facebooking and all that good stuff. We thank you. Listen, we're moving right on into our second segment again. My guest is hanging out and has been hanging out in the virtual green room, so hopefully she enjoys some virtual snacks. We're going to be bringing her up to the mic, but I am telling you what, a lot of people want to have freedom when it comes to their finances, and they want to feel less bound, let's say it that way, when it comes to financial freedom and debt and all of that. And so I'm so happy to have you meet a young lady who we are both in a networking group here in Richmond. She sharing her experience. So a big shout out to Maya Harris, founder of that. So we're both connected in a networking group, and we sat down and chatted about, well, what do you do and what do you do? And I said, oh, we've got to have you on the show to talk and give some tips and share some financial tips with our listeners. Listen, Majida is an advocate of developing a strong financial foundation and practicing wealth principles, which she says anyone can learn. Anyone can do this. Don't stress out. Anyone can do this, and it'll help you set a better sale so you can have a better outcome. So I'm bringing up to the mic right now, coming up right now, Majida Bay. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Charvette. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome.
Oh, are you ready, like, to cure world hunger and get all of our finances in order?
I'm going to do what I can. I can plant seeds.
Great. So let's chat. I'd love for you to share how you even got into this space. So, you know, you went off to college. You got the engineering degree. How did finances even come up? How did you get into this space?
something else I've heard before is that I got it right by getting it wrong. initially coming out of college, you know, I did what most people did, and yeah, I looked for a job and I was able to get a job right out of school, so I was excited about that and started working, started making a little bit of money, and the more money I made, the more money I spent. I was 21 years old when I came out. 6 months after graduating, I decided to buy a house. I had to get a new car, and you know, I'm thinking, okay, this engineering degree, you know, I should be able to take care of all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
But I soon found myself really frustrated because I'm like, wait a minute, I'm working, but I'm house broke, I'm car broke, I'm living paycheck to paycheck, and this is not what I signed up for, you know, when I went off to college. I wanted to come out, be able to travel, have fun. I mean, I found myself kind of bound by my responsibilities. So that's really what kind of woke me up. I was just like, wait a minute, if I keep doing this, I'm going to be doing this for the next 15, 20, 30, 40 years, and I knew I wanted something different. I didn't want that to be my reality. And so recognizing that that was my reality at 21, 22 years old, I decided I needed to make a change. I needed to do something different if I wanted a different outcome.
Wow. And so how did you start? What was the first thing you tackled?
Finding help. I knew that I couldn't do it on my own because the habits that I had about money were what I had learned, you know, work hard and pay your bills, and that's all I knew. I didn't know anything about saving, how to save, where to save. And so I started to seek out professional help. Talked to a few different people from different companies, and I was fortunate enough back in 2008 to meet a gentleman who I definitely treasure. He's definitely impacted me and my family's life for generations to come. Because he was willing to teach me. You know, he took basically a broke college student, was willing to share with me the information and knowledge that he had to help me get on the right track. And so the first bit of advice I could suggest is to seek wise counsel. Find somebody who's where you want to be, who can direct you and give you. You know, we love our family, we love our friends, but if they're in the same boat we're in, they probably can't direct us to a better boat.
To a better boat. So. That's a good way to say it. Wonderful. And so there are five. When I met with you, you had a wonderful pamphlet that you gave out, and there were five steps to financial freedom, or five steps that you recommend people take. So let's kind of walk listeners through those five steps and then any kind of commentary or talking points about each of those steps.
Okay. The first step is cash flow. An old friend of mine used to say, he said, we all have cash, but it doesn't always flow. And that's basically just having understanding of what's coming in and what's going out. A fellow professional put it to me this way, is that what we have that comes in and what goes out, there's a bottom number. So, you know, we have our income minus our expenses, whatever that bottom number is, we can only change in two ways. And that is either increase our income or decrease our expenses. And sometimes that's going to take sacrifice, because too often we have the habit of spending everything that we're making, and the more we make, the more we spend, you know, like I even share for myself. And so I had to learn a different habit. I'm like, all right, if this is what's coming in and this is what's going out, well, if what's going out is more than what's coming in, then we have a problem. So understanding our cash flow, so that we can have a positive cash flow or discretionary income in order to be able to reach some of our goals and dreams. And we do that by being able to label our money. Cash flow is really allocating your money to, in certain directions. You know, it's not just, okay, whatever comes in, it just goes right back out, but having a label for, you know, this money is for long-term savings, this is for charity, this is for, you know, whatever you want to designate it for, but to label it, not just let it slip through our fingers, because it'll go somewhere. Another friend of mine put it this way, money is like time. We're going to spend it, use it, waste it, or do something with it. So if we allocate it or label it, we have a better chance of getting the desired outcome that we want with our finances.
Oh, and so if someone is having a cash flow issue, what is there? Aren't there any signs that someone could, like, self-check themselves to say, okay, this means I'm having a cash flow issue if I keep doing XYZ or if I keep seeing XYZ each month? Any triggers, any cues?
If there's too much month left at the end of the money. That would probably be the biggest cue. But even beyond that, really just if everything always feels tight or you never feel like you can do certain things that you want to do, and even if it's necessity, if it's like, you know, I'm robbing Peter to pay Paul or I'm having to pay this late, you know, those should be your red flags to say, okay, something's not right here. I'm not able to do the things that I want to do or sometimes even need to do. So there's something that needs to be corrected.
Okay, great. All right, let's move on to the next step.
Okay. The next one is debt management. I know that's one that a lot of people sometimes get frustrated with. You know, I can't do this because I have debt. And I like to look at it a little different way in that can't do the things that we want to do, not because we're in debt, but because we're not, like I said, labeling our money, because we're not making those conscious choices about where our money is going. And it's like we'll continue to be in debt if we don't do something different. So when I think about debt management, it's really about understanding where you are and being willing to make a change. Sometimes it's going to require sacrifices. It's definitely going to require discipline. But understanding that I got into debt, I didn't get into it overnight. And most of us get into debt, not on purpose, but, you know, a lot of times it's out of habit. You know, we want things. The society that we live in promotes immediate gratification. So if I want it, you know, if I got to put it on the charge card or, you know, pay later, then that's okay. But understanding that for most of us, debt, we can stay in debt for the rest of our lives because we don't understand how it's working against us. We think it's just the way that it is. And I believe that we can live without debt. You know, just because we have a mortgage, I mean, just because I have a home doesn't mean we have to have a mortgage. You know, just because we have a car doesn't mean we have to have a note. So understanding that it's possible. So honestly, the first point I would make about that is to believe that it's possible to live without debt. Debt to me is like financial slavery. You know, we go to work every day because we owe somebody, and we could really live off of a lot less, but because of debt, we have to spend a lot more. We have to make a lot more income to cover our debt. The average household can really live off of $1,000 to $1,200 a month if they didn't have debt. And if we think about that, that covers our basic necessities, utilities, food, gas, water, taxes, things that aren't going to go away. But if that was all we needed to really survive and we didn't have debt, for those of us that, you know, that may make a little bit more than that, we could do a lot more things with our money. So really just understanding where we are when it comes to our debt. You know, unmanaged debt is like a ticking time bomb. It's just a matter of time before it explodes. And so just helping people to have a strategy for eliminating their debt and staying out of debt, and also paying more than the minimum. A lot of times we get the credit card statements or the loan
statements.
We just pay the minimum, and that's it. And understanding that we will stay in debt a lot longer as a result of that, because those minimums aren't set up for our benefit. It's set up so that we pay a lot more money to the credit card company or the loan. And just to share a personal example, when I realized how debt was hurting me, I had got some computers financed before I started learning all this stuff. Financed some computers, and it was about $3,000 for a couple computers that I got. And they tell you first year same as cash. So if you pay it off in the first year, you don't have to pay any interest. Well, I didn't do that. You know, we just paid the minimum, paid here or there. So then they tack on all the interest that you didn't pay the first year, and then, you know, you have this bill. So it ended up being like $3,600. So I start paying the bill, I'm paying the minimum, and after 3 or 4 months, I'm like, the balance hasn't really changed. Well, I started to look at it a little more closely. Of the $110 that I was paying every month, $30 was going towards the principal, $80 towards the interest. And in 2010, they started printing on credit card statements, loan statements, how long it would take you to pay off a bill paying the minimum. And that's what really woke me up, because it told me it was going to take me 24 years to pay off a $3,000 debt. And I was going to end up spending $14,000 in interest.
Whoa. Now, that is a wake-up call if I have ever heard one. Wow.
And I've sat down with people, and most people don't recognize it. That's it's clear as day now. Before, it wasn't. But now it's clearly labeled so that we know. But a lot of times we don't think we can pay more than the minimum, or we don't feel like we can't afford. But if we don't find a way to pay more than the minimum, we could stay in debt, like I said, for the rest of our lives. And That was my like, oh my gosh, this is my rude awakening. Like, I gotta get this thing paid off sooner rather than later. Because it's really just money down the tube. You know, $3,000 computers, they're obsolete, you know, the time you get them. And spend 3 to 4 times that in interest alone.
Wow. So one homework item for everyone is to, for any of those credit cards or any of those types of loans, to check the statements to see how long it's saying that if you pay the minimum, how long it will take to pay it off. Wow. As people are listening, how can they get in contact with you and connect with you? We're going to cover the rest of the tips, listeners, but just want to make sure those that are tuning in and coming in know how they can connect with you.
Oh, Facebook is probably the easy way. I'm actually on Twitter as Shining Light. So you can find me on Twitter, Shining Light, or follow me on Facebook, Majita Bay. And my email address, I can shoot that out, is mbey.wfg@gmail.com. So definitely, you know, I share with you. I'm really passionate about it because I know how finances a lot of times can keep people, like I said, in debt for the rest of their lives, frustrated, you know, it can break up families, relationships. And so if we can get finances as an issue out of the way, we can really live a more free life.
Wonderful. Well said. All right. So let's keep moving with more about the tips.
Okay. The next one is emergency fund. I think of an emergency fund in this way. Life is going to happen. Life happens to all of us. So why not anticipate the stuff that's going to happen anyway and just simply prepare for it? For example, at some point we've all gotten a flat tire, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, we don't know when it's going to happen, but it's bound to happen at some point. So understanding that those things are going to happen anyway, if we just make a habit consistently of just putting something aside, it doesn't have to be a whole lot, but if it's, you know, $20 a week or $20 per pay period, and consistently over time, when those things come up, we don't have an emergency because we have a small emergency account set aside for, you know, things like that. Those things happen. Initially, you can start off with saving up $1,000. Like I said, it doesn't happen overnight, but if you just make a consistent habit, whatever you can squeeze out, you know, $5 a week or $5 a month, however long it takes, you can build up $1,000. That'll typically cover most deductibles for, like, insurances and things like that if that stuff happens, or any type of small repairs. You can save up $1,000. And saving or having an emergency fund is not so much about the amount itself. It's really about the person you become. I can speak from personal experience that the person that I've become as a result of saving, you feel better. You walk with a different swagger, so to speak. it's because I look at it as really paying yourself first. We pay our bills, we pay our debt, you know, debt collectors, our creditors. So why not pay yourself? We, I believe, are the most important asset that we have, our ability to earn an income. So if we treat ourselves in the same way we treat Dominion or natural gas or whoever we have to pay, think of yourself as important as those bills, but make yourself the most important bill you pay. So setting aside that emergency fund, there's a book that really helped me to understand some basic fundamental principles. It's called The Richest Man in Babylon by George S. Klassen, The Richest Man in Babylon. And what he shared in that book was, a part of all you earn is yours to keep. And we may say, well, I'll keep everything that I make. No. A lot of times it's allocated to somebody else. By the time you get your paycheck, and so by the next pay period or by the next week, you know, your paycheck's already gone. But labeling, like I said, your money to where you make yourself a bill. You know, I feel like I'm a lot more important than the million, because if I don't take care of me, they don't get paid. So
right.
All of that, I make sure I pay myself first, pay myself what I believe that I'm worth, if not more. So, just establishing that emergency fund for those small things, and then eventually building up to 3 to 6 months of your monthly expenses. Like I said, things are going to happen. You know, you can get disabled, you can have an accident, you could be out of work. And so if we have 3 to 6 months and eventually over time build up to a year's worth of our monthly expenses, then when those things may happen or we decide we want to change careers or whatever the case may be, we're not frustrated or, you know, distraught because
right.
you don't have the finances available. We're not, you know, scrambling trying to figure out how things are going to work out. it's just like I said, it's preparing or anticipating the things that could happen anyway and just simply prepare for them while things are going well, you know.
Oh, that's a good point. Prepare while things are going well so then you don't have that kind of run around chicken, you know, with your head cut off when things go awry. You know, like I always hear people say the best time to shop for a car is when your car's fine. You know, so when
right.
your car is broke down on the side of the road, you don't have transportation, then it's like you're frantic. So that's good advice. Oh, wow. Okay, let's keep going. Did we cover them all or we got more?
We got two more.
Okay, perfect. Let's keep rolling. I like
all right.
this.
The next one is proper protection. And this can be a challenging topic for some people as they don't always see the value in having proper protection for life insurance. And we have to think of proper protection in the terms of income replacement, not just for burial or final expenses. If we have a family and they're dependent upon our income, how does their life change if our income stops? How would they maintain their quality of life or their life they're accustomed to or have a better life if we no longer have an income coming in? So our ability to provide an income is our greatest asset for ourselves and our loved ones. So it's not for when we die, right, but it's for when they don't.
Right.
So for any people that have, you know, families, you know, if you're a husband and you have a wife or, you know, a mother or children or whatever the case may be, if something happens to me today, you know, God forbid, I know that I'm not going to leave my family distraught. You know, my daughter will still be able to go to college if she so desires. My family will be able to, you know, have an income or whatever the case may be. And it's just, you know, being loving those enough to do the right things and take care of them, even when we're not here. And that's what really life insurance does. You know, it works in place of us if we're no longer here. So having the proper protection is in place. And I look at it as this way. Does the cost to have it outweigh the cost of not having it? And an answer for me every time is yes. You know, I'd spend 50% of my income every month if I knew that it was going to help my family if I couldn't be here. And that's just, you know, taking care of, like I said, the people that we care about the most. We're the goose that lays the golden eggs. So
yes.
doesn't it make sense to have more protection on ourselves than we do on our homes or our cars? You know, we have to have car insurance by law. Mortgage insurance a lot of times is required as well. But that doesn't protect ourselves or our family. It protects the companies that we buy the car from or the insurance company or the mortgage company, the bank. So if I'm the goose that lays the golden eggs, if I'm not here, if I don't protect me, I'll lose all the golden eggs along the way. So just making sure that we sit down with a licensed professional, find out how much you need. We have a general rule of thumb, 10 times your annual income, your life insurance should be enough for income replacement. Like I said, not just for burial or final expenses, but income replacement to make sure that your loved ones are well taken care of, well beyond you actually being here.
Great. And like you said, it's a topic that people don't want to talk about. It's like, oh, that's not going to happen anytime soon. That's not,
mm-hmm.
you know, we don't need to think about it right now. But, you know, in the world that we live in, I think you are absolutely right. It's something we need to think about. It needs to be on the forefront versus on the back burner. So, okay, great.
And just one more point about that. There's been so many changes over time about, you know, with life insurance. So there's so many different benefits and features that you get now. It's not just, you know, I have to die in order for me to benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually some other advantages to having life insurance, tax advantages, things like that. And so, you know, understanding that death benefit actually goes to your family tax-free. And it's something that can't be taxed. So that's one way, something that you can leave your family to make sure, like, that they're taken care of. But also, if you live a really long life, there's also other advantages. There's a book by Tony Robbins, Money Master the Game. And in it, you know, he's talking about the billionaires and the people that he know. And that's something that they do as well. They invest in life insurance. And they look at it as something, like I said, to protect their family. So their family,
mm-hmm.
you know, if they leave, if their family loses them, they're going to grieve. But they're going to grieve in Tahiti, you know.
Right. Yes, they're going to wipe their tears in Tahiti on a beach on a private island.
Exactly. And you know, that may not be the case for everyone, but
Right.
Understanding that, you know, for myself, my family is one of the most important things to me. So I just want to make sure, hey, if I can't, you know, make all the money I want to make while I'm living, well, in my death, you know, they can still fulfill some of the goals and dreams that I have for them.
I am in agreement with that, and I always say, my friends always know, I'm joking, but I'm telling the truth. You can always grieve better if the bills are paid and
yeah.
you got some money. You know, if you got to choose, if you have to grieve, at least you know, grieve while you're telling them to put the fur coat in the guest room, you know, or while you're telling them to cover the convertible bins. You could still grieve. So I'm making light
Absolutely.
Of it, but you all know, y'all get the point. All right. So what's the last step towards financial freedom?
It's asset accumulation, and that's what most people like, the idea of building wealth. But most of us don't know how. Like I said, I came out of college, had a great degree, enjoyed my college education, but it didn't teach me anything about money. And when I came out, I didn't know how to save, where to save. Didn't learn it at home, didn't learn it in school. And so I just kind of figured it out, you know, by trial and error. So first and foremost, like I said, it's important to meet with a financial professional. This person will be able to guide you in many of the areas that we've discussed, and provide an objective strategy for addressing how to attack each of those areas. We tend to be emotional about our money, so we need that third party to take a view and tell us. Give you a personal example. My advisor, when I sat down with him, when I initially had my financial statement, I'm spending everything that I'm making almost down to the T. And, of course, I think I'm doing all right, you know. I'm just like, oh, you know, it's not that bad. I'm just paying my bills. I'm doing what I need to do. I'm living within my means. But he helped me understand that if I was going to continue on that road, I was, you know, an emergency away from being able to take care of certain things. You know, something might come up, and I don't have the discretionary income to be able to fix it. And so his advice to me was actually to sell my car.
Wow.
Now, I'm 22, 23 years old. I'm like, I need my car. I travel back and forth. I was living in Norfolk at the time, but I was traveling back and forth to Richmond to visit my family. But what he helped me understand is that if I didn't do something different, I was going to have the same outcome as many people that I know and love have, you know, living paycheck to paycheck, just getting by. And so I wasn't willing to sell my car, but I was willing to cut other expenses so that I could free up some money to start saving. And I'll be honest with you, Charvette, it was the best habit I've ever created. And like I said, I walk a little taller because I know how to save and I can do it automatically. But it helped me to just start. And I started, you know, maybe $5 a day. When I was able to free up the money, I cut off the cable because I was like, well, I can spend $80 a month paying and watching somebody else live their dreams, or I can sacrifice that to go live mine. So I cut off the cable. I cut off some other things that I didn't have to have so I could free up just $5 a day to start putting away. But starting that almost 6 years ago put me in a position today to where I don't have to just save $5 a day. I can save as much or as little as I want. And I can do so freely. You know, I can give charities or to things that I believe in or to my religious organization. I can give to it freely, and I'm not worried about money. I'm not saying that I'm financially independent yet, right? I'm working in that direction. But you helped me to understand that it was possible. I just had to have a few habits, just tweak a few things. It wasn't a major overhaul, but just tweak a few things, be willing to make a sacrifice so I wouldn't have to sacrifice later. You know, too often we do it the other way. We do what we want to do in our 20s and 30s, and then we have to pay for it in our 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. So, you know, making that sacrifice when I was 22, 23 years old to where today I'm 30 years old, and I'm moving in the right direction, and I know that I am. I'm much more excited about my financial future because of the principles that I learned. So with asset accumulation, like I said, meet a financial professional, help them to sit down with you, put it in black and white. You know, they say women lie, men lie, numbers don't. So look at the numbers.
Right.
What's coming in, what's going out, and let's figure out what we need to do to change it. If we don't like what we see, we can do something to change it. And like I said, it just first starts with belief that it's possible. And then find ways to have your money work for you. There are various methods to grow your money. The most important thing, no matter where you save or invest the money, is the rate of return, and is your money outpacing inflation and minimizing taxes. We call those the two enemies of money, inflation and taxes. So if your strategy doesn't take these into account, you're really losing out. There are tax now, there's tax deferred, and there's tax advantage vehicles. So understanding how all of those things work. One of the things that I loved about the advisor that I sat with was he didn't just take my money and manage it for me. He empowered me by teaching me the things that he learned that work. And so even before I started working with the company, I started off as a client. But even as a client, I understood where my money was, how it worked for me, and how it was going to be beneficial to me down the road. So education is really important. That's one of the things that I think that we do really well as a company is empowering our clients and our associates through education, helping them understand how these principles can work for you, and then applying them, putting them in place. That's definitely important.
Wonderful.
Your money works for you.
Yes, and so I love that you share you embed your own learnings throughout this. But you are here. You have a passion to help other people as well. So talk a little bit about how people can connect with you, what you can help them do, and we're in a very non car salesy way. Just listening to you, just like a friend, just sitting down, just giving guidance. So talk a little bit about how you can help them, or how they can get in contact with you to talk more about it.
Like I said, one of the things that what I love is it's really empowering people through education. So I can sit down with an individual, take a look at what's coming in, what's going out, find out what their goals and dreams are, because we need to figure out where you want to go before we can map out a strategy to get there. So we say, I want to eliminate debt, or I want to be able to save for retirement or put something away for my child's college education. We can do all of those things. We just have to know where we are, so we start there, right, looking at those numbers, what's coming in, what's going out. And then we map out a strategy. What is it going to take to get to where you want to go? And the next question is, are you willing to do the work, right? I can give you all the advice in the world. I can tell you the strategy and map it out and put it in pretty, paper. But at the end of the day, there's some work that needs to do, that you have to do. And we're willing to work with you along the way, guide you step by step, but be willing to make the sacrifice, be consistent over time, and be disciplined to be able to make that happen. So to be able to connect with me, like I said, through Facebook, that's probably the easiest way to get in contact with me. Majida Bay, you can definitely reach me Facebook Messenger or send me a direct message. Like I said, all I help people do is just, hey, let me find out what you want to do. Where do you want to go? And let me help you map out a strategy. There's no cost or fee or anything associated with it now with myself or any of my associates that I work with. But we just help you, like I said, map out that strategy and really get, like I said, I'm not financially independent yet, but limiting those basic principles so that we can move closer and closer towards that goal.
Wonderful. Absolutely. I love it. And again, listeners, you can connect with me, and I know you're connected with me, facebook.com/Charvette. And it's a public post, so I have tagged Majida there. You can connect with her right there. Also, a blog post is on charvette.com. That gives you a little bit more information. And we are out of time, but man, thank you so much for all of the guidance and suggestions and tips that you gave during the show. It was greatly appreciated, and we just have to keep connected with you.
Absolutely. I really appreciate the opportunity, Charvette, and I had a chance to listen to your first speaker, and so dynamic. I got so much from that, so I'm going to have to start listening in more often.
Yeah, we'd love to have you. We'd love to have you. Great. Thank you so much. All right, listeners, that's going to be a wrap for today's show. Again, if you missed any portion of the show, go to charvette.com. You'll be able to listen to any replays and let your friends know, hey, you need to check out both segments of today's show. Again, jump right over to charvette.com. If you listen from a mobile phone, download my free mobile app. Just search for Charvette. And until we meet again, peace and love.
Live from Richmond, Virginia, you have been listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Connect with her at charvette.com. And until next week, stay motivated, excited, and influenced. The Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, signing off.